We're continuing in our preaching series, I'm Up for the Challenge. And we're talking about the 4x4 evangelism challenge. And so last Sunday, if y'all remember, in this challenge, we started this detailed look at the 4x4, and we started by talking about the word to identify. That this evangelism challenge is not all there is to evangelism. It is simply one approach. I believe that it is a tried and true approach. Why is that? Because I believe that it always takes people to reach people. That you can put on television commercials, that you can put up signs across the streets, that you can do promos everywhere. But at the end of the day, and even Jesus teaches this, that it takes us to go out and to reach other people. And so that's what this 4x4 challenge is really all about. And so we started out again by talking about identifying at least four people that are unchurched, people that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or maybe it's just some people that maybe they're on the fringes, they have a relationship, but they haven't been to church in a minute. They haven't sat in a church chair or a pew in a while, but we are to identify. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us to identify at least four people or four families that are unchurched. And so we're going to continue in this preaching series as we continue in this 4x4 challenge. And what we really want people to do is to respond to the message of the gospel, which tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came, he hung, bled, he died, but he rose again with all power. It's that simple. But I dare to ask the question, how many believers, how many of you can really say, I've led at least one person to the Lord Jesus Christ? I dare to say that there are people, many Christians, that in a lifetime they have yet to witness and lead somebody to Jesus. And so today we go for our second installment in this preaching series. And so this morning, if you would, go with me to Nehemiah chapter 1, Old Testament book, Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, which is really chapter 1 in its entirety. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible, and it reads as thus. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In late autumn in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hananiah, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked him about Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to God, to the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me. In those days, I was a king's cupbearer." And so for the second installment, we're going to talk about the word intercede. to intercede. You know, in the church, oftentimes we talk about this word, intercede. We talk much about intercessory prayer, that we tell other people that we're praying for them. So when we talk about this word intercede, I mean, what does it really mean? It's real simple. It's to ask on behalf of another person. To give an example, it's like going to a judge on behalf of the accused and asking the judge to show them mercy, asking the judge to show them grace. It's like sometimes, you know, when some of the shoppers out there and you go shopping and there's the last of a particular item that's up there, it's on display and it's the last one. And if it's the last one, you know there's got to be a scratch on it somewhere. There's got to be dented or something. And so you want it at a discount. I'm talking to the shoppers in the house today. And so you ask the sales associate, listen, you know, it's the last one. It's on display. Listen, it's a scratch right there. Can I get it on discount? Well, I'm not authorized to do that. Well, can you go and get the senior supervisor? And can you go to them on my behalf and ask them, can I get this at a discount? Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. I know some folk, I ain't gonna mention no name, but I know some folk that'll do it in a with their head held high. I need a discount on this. So we're asking them to intercede on our behalf. The same thing that we have in the human realm is also true of the spiritual realm. That when we intercede for other people, for Wednesday, when our prayer warriors come together, they bow their heads and their hearts to God, and they intercede for so many people in this ministry and around this world that they're going to God on that person's behalf. Some of y'all don't even know that you are the recipients of intercessory prayer each and every week by these prayer warriors in this church. That when we look at the Bible, we see many examples of what it means to intercede. We think about Abraham and how God was going to destroy Sodom. And God went to Abraham went to God and said, God, listen, if there are 10 folk left there, will you save them? Will you keep them alive? God said, for 10 people, I'll still save them alive. But guess what? Y'all know the story. There wasn't 10 people. When we think about Exodus and Moses and God's rebellious people, Israel, that Moses goes to God on their behalf. He intercedes for them and God does not destroy them. Anybody remember the story of Peter when he was in prison in the book of Acts? That he was in jail for preaching the gospel and they had him all chained up. But the Bible says that the church was praying for Peter. And it gets kind of funny after that because God hears the prayer that Peter is released, miraculously released from prison. And Peter shows up at a particular door of a house. And there's a young girl by the name of Rhoda Peter's knocking on the door. Young Rhoda answers the door. And it's Peter. She didn't let him in. She ran back to the church. It's Peter out there, y'all. It's Peter. He's outside. They were praying. And God had already heard their prayer and answered their prayer. Now, what's so funny? They like, Peter? Man, we thought maybe Peter about dead by now. So but that's intercessory prayer. So the biblical examples of intercessory prayer. But I wonder how many believers in the house today know that you are a recipient. You are the product of intercessory prayer. Anybody got some mamas that prayed for you? Some big mamas that prayed for you? And you are a testimony today that you are here today because mama prayed for me. Big mama prayed for me. She had me on her mind and she took the time to pray for me and for you. That we are the recipients of intercessory prayer. That somebody went to God on my behalf. And here I stand today by the grace and the mercy of God. But one of the greatest examples of intercessory prayer we find here in the book of Nehemiah, the first chapter of Nehemiah. And the first chapter really sets the tone for the rest of the book. So one thing we know about Nehemiah is that he was the king's cupbearer. And so he had the responsibility then of making sure that whenever the king had something to drink, when he drank his wine, his MD 2020, his Dom Perignon. Now, what is that? When his Cabernet, his Sauvignon, whatever it is, that they were concerned about someone trying to poison them, to kill them. And so the cupbearer's responsibility was to taste the wine first. I don't know about you. I'd be saying, oh, I need a pet dog. Okay, dog, try it out. Now, if the dog dies, say, King, it's bad. No. But he was a cupbearer. Nehemiah was also a great strategist. He had a great mind. And Nehemiah was a builder. But one thing that we know about Nehemiah from this story is that Nehemiah was a man of great prayer. That he was a strategist, he was a builder, but he had a heart for prayer. That Nehemiah, that he trusted in God and he talked to God on the regular. And I hope we got some people in the house today that we do that. That we talk to God on the regular about whatever it is. And as it relates to this 4x4 challenge, I hope that we will be like a Nehemiah. As we go to God in prayer, that we'll intercede on behalf of those that are around our 4x4s, those four names that you write down. Where's my card? I got a card somewhere. So I said last week, listen, we would have cards available. Y'all got cards in the house? You got cards in the house? Living Faith, you got your card. On the back of the card, there are four lines. And so those four lines are for you to put your four people that you are praying for, that you have identified, that you're praying for. And so make sure before you leave the house today, if you don't have one, listen, we're all going to rise to the challenge. If you don't have a card, make sure you get your card and you keep this in your wallet. You keep it in your, what y'all call it today, purse or pocketbook, your handbag, whatever you call it. I don't know, Myra, you know. I'm still calling makeup rouge. I don't know. Whatever y'all call it today. But make sure you keep this with you. And you're always looking at your four names. And you're seeking God for them. You identify them. And you're interceding for them. So we must commit to intercede for the people that we have identified. And so the purpose is that they would have a life-changing experience and relationship with Jesus. So I just want to quickly go through five characteristics. That relate to intercessory prayer that we find in this first chapter of Nehemiah that can help us as we intercede for other people so that they too can have a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the first thing that I want us to, first characteristic I want to identify in the text is found in verse 4. This is what Nehemiah says in the text. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, he begins to go in his prayer. First thing is this, that intercession grows out of brokenness. Let me say that again. Intercession grows out of brokenness. And so some of us know, we know the biblical history of Israel, that now it's a divided kingdom and Israel is taken by the Assyrians in the north. Judah is in the south, and they've been taken by the Babylonians. And eventually, the Babylonians are conquered by the Persians. And the Persians actually conquered the Babylonians. And so Israel was in captivity for some 70 years. And finally, they are released by the hand and the power of God. But Nehemiah stayed in Persia. Some could remain. Some could go back to the homeland. But Nehemiah stayed in Persia. And so we see from the text that it says when the brothers came up, they rolled up on him and said, Nehemiah said, what's going on back home? Some of y'all are not from San Antonio. Some of y'all from different places. And sometimes when you see some friends that may be from the same place, you be like, what's been going on back home? What's going on at the house? He said, listen, it's bad. The things are real bad for five people, for Nehemiah. That listen, the gates have been destroyed by fire, that the walls have been torn down, that your people, our people are in distress, Nehemiah. This city, which was once a home to Solomon's great temple in his splendor and glory, is now destroyed. The walls to the city are now destroyed. And this is really comparable to the people's lives, which now were lying in ruin. I wonder how many people that we meet each and every day that might have a smile on their face. They might be fronting, but all along their lives are in ruin. That they're in distress, that they're stressed out, and we don't even know it. We talked about last week the being able to see people, being awake and aware to people. But all around us, there are people whose lives are in ruin. In the text, their lives were in, they were in ruin. But here's the fact, that God wanted Nehemiah to be a blessing to these people. And so he strategizes in the life of Nehemiah to get those walls rebuilt. Some of y'all know the story. But God wants to bless them. God wants to bless people, but people's lives are in ruin. And the bigger question is, though, who's broken enough to reach out to people? Who's broken enough to intercede for those same people that might be living in sin while they're living in a sinful world? You know, we talk about sin all the time. We talk about what folk are doing all the time. But when was the last time we interceded for them and prayed for them? We're quick to talk about people sometimes. Look at them and they sin. Look at what they're doing. We know that's not the godly way, but when was the last time you prayed for them? When was the last time you went before God on their behalf? God, I pray that you touch them in the name of Jesus, God, that you work and operate in their lives like never before. When was the last time you interceded for somebody like that? When was the last time you were broken about somebody else's issues other than your own? If there are people that are broken, and even worse, there's no people there to help them, because God wants to restore us all to our original purpose and intent. And so the text says Nehemiah mourned, fasted, and prayed. He was broken for the people. Are you broken for people that are without God? Or are you just angry about sin and not praying for the sinner, the person that's dealing with sin in their lives? Sometimes, y'all, we look at people as if their sin is stirred. Because we're in the church and we're sanctified and saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. But if we're not careful, we can look out at the world and people that are in the world, the people that Jesus died for, and see them as sinners and sin is stirred. And we can treat them that way if we are not careful. Are we broken for people trying to live on their own ability and on their own strength? Are we really broken for those people? Are we broken, or our hearts broken for people that if a disaster happened in their lives, they might leave this world without a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are we broken enough to intercede, to go to God on their behalf and to pray for them that God would move in their lives? Until we can see that the people that are without Jesus are hopeless, that they are helpless, that they are lost, that we'll never really be serious about reaching people for the kingdom. The intercession grows out of brokenness. And so we must be broken by the sins that we see. But not just for the sins of other people, but for our own sins too. The same people that we try to reach that may be sinful, guess what? We have some sin in our lives too. Okay. All the folk with the halos on your head, listen, take them off right now. And to me, that ought to be the motivating factor. As we're trying to bring people to Christ and intercede on their behalf, listen, we realize too that we have some sins that we have to deal with too. Amen, somebody. Okay, amen, Kevin Love, all by yourself. But we seek God's help to do what we cannot do. And here's a miraculous thing, that God will use us in the process to reach other people that we've sinned and fallen short of his glory, but God will use us in the process. But we have to be broken. With intercession comes brokenness, but not only that, intercession is based on God's character. Intercessory prayer is based upon God's character. Look at verse 5. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Intercession is based on God's character, y'all. So Nehemiah's prayer is not, it's not based on the goodness of the people. God, you know, these people are all right. They, you know, God, they love you. No, it ain't based on that. Nehemiah's prayer is not based on his own goodness or his character. But the prayer is based upon God's character and God's nature. It allows God's nature. We ought to allow God's nature to shape the way we pray. What do you know about God? That presupposes that you're reading the word of God to find out all you can about God, so that when you pray, it's based upon the nature and the character of who God is. And Nehemiah declared that God declared God's greatness. That word greatness is a word of distinction and honor. That God is great and there's nobody else like God. He declared that God is awesome. It's right there in the text. That God is awesome. Now, if you were born in the mid-80s and you know the word awesome, gnarly, man, it's awesome. that we have this word for awesome, that, you know, something's incredible. You know, it's awesome. Maybe today y'all use the word lit. It's dope. Maybe it's sick. Some of y'all, it's fire. It's awesome. But to say that God is awesome, Nehemiah is going beyond incredible. God's not dope or sick or fire, but listen, God is to be reverenced. When he says that God is awesome, that it's a term of adoration, that there's nobody like God. No, nobody can save like God. Nobody can heal like God. Nobody can deliver like God. It's a term of adoration. God is awesome. Anybody in the house know God is awesome today? Can you give him an awesome praise? There's nobody like our God. Nobody can do us like Jesus. Nobody can save like he can. Nobody can deliver like he can. Our God is awesome. He still talks about the nature and the character of God. He said God keeps his covenant of unfailing love. Nobody ever had anybody's love to fail you. Look at me. Anybody ever had anybody's love to fail you? The good news for us is that God's love does not fail. That the Hebrew is the hesed. It's his unfailing love. It's his mercy towards us that never, never, never fails us. That Nehemiah talks about the character of God in his prayer. He prays according to the nature and the character of God. God keeps his covenant and unfailing love. That he stands by his promises and love, his love never fails. See, Nehemiah, as he prayed, he saw God as he was. and not the kind of God that he fashioned in his own mind. No, people do that, nobody here. That as we go to God in prayer, rather than praying according to the nature and the character God has outlined in Scripture, we make up what we want to believe and think about God. That we try to make God compliant and flexible. And God, well, listen, I'm going to pray this prayer, God, but I need it to come out the way I need it to come out. You can't roll dice with God. God, baby, need a new pad. You can't do God like that. That he saw God as he truly was and as he truly is. That we can try to treat God sometimes like Play-Doh. Some of y'all still, I think they still got that out today. The Play-Doh is just this big lump of stuff, y'all, and you can shape it and twist it and form it, and you can make all sorts of little things out of it. If we try to do that, it's like trying to minimize God and to shape him and to form him into what we want him to be. But don't listen, the scriptures say that he is the potter and we are the clay. That is God that's shaping and forming us and making us into his image and not the other way around. Intercession is based on God's character. We need to pray according to God's character and nature as outlined in Scripture. It impacts how we pray for other people, that they might have a life-changing experience and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He says this, the Lord is not slow about his promises, but God is patient and not wanting anyone to leave this earth without a relationship with Jesus. That God is just that patient. So as we're praying for our four, Maybe we ought to pray according to the word of God. God, give me the kind of patience that you have, because some people will try your patience. Oh, come on now, come on. You got some folk in your own family that will try your patience. And so as we're interceding for people and we've identified them and we're trying to talk to them and live a life before them, and listen, we're interceding before them. God, give me patience to be able to deal with them, because God, you are a patient God. God, let your patience have its perfect work in me. Intercession is based on God's character. Not only that, intercession includes confession. I love verses 6 and 7. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. So Nehemiah confessed sin before God. And if you read the text, he's confessing the sins of his ancestors of long ago. Not just the immediate, but the fact that God's people had sinned against him. What I love about this prayer is that Nehemiah confessed the sins of the people, but Nehemiah says he included himself in the prayer too. Lord, he didn't say, Lord, these your folk, they've been hard-headed, stiff-necked. God, I'm about through with them. I don't know what to do, but God, you got to take. Now, he didn't pray like that. That he says, Lord, look down, see me praying night and day. I confess that they have sinned. No. He said, we have sinned against you. Even my own family and I have sinned against you. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So we're confessing. Intercession includes confession. Nehemiah understood. He understood what confession was all about. That when we go to God in intercessory prayer and praying for others, it's not just saying, God, they all messed up and jacked up, but God, I got some messed ups and some issues too, and I confess them before you. And I confess them because I want to get rid of some stuff in my life so I can look like you, walk more like you, talk more like you, so other people are drawn to the you that's in me. Nehemiah understood that confession was not revealing something to, that God is sovereign. God knows everything about everything. And so when you're confessing to God, it's not like you're confessing, you know, you confess a crime. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, I did it. And people, ooh, you did that? You can never do that with God. That's not what confession is with God. You know what confession is with God? It's simply this. It's agreeing with what God said. If God says something is sin, we say, God, you said that's sin, that's sin. That we don't say, God, yeah, that's sin, but. Anything that comes behind that but is probably not going to be good. That confession to God is simply coming into agreement what God has to say about anything, any issue, any sin, that we come into agreement with God. And so as it relates to our 4x4, And we're confessing, and we're believing some things for God for them. We confess our own sins and our own faults and our own issues. And we confess, Lord God, that this person might have sin in their lives, God, but I know that you love them. I know you want to save them. I know you want to lift them up and help them, God. So I confess to you, God. I bring it all out. And God, I agree with what you agree. And God, and as I'm praying for them, I pray that they would agree with what you say is sin, what is not right, oh God, that they would come in agreement with your word. So intercession includes confession. It's another characteristic. And y'all, sometimes confession, it can be difficult, can't it? Okay, I'm by myself. Anybody else in here, sometimes you don't want to admit when you're wrong? Look at me, don't look around, don't look around, look at me. Husbands, wives, look at me, don't look around. And sometimes we just hate to admit, like, man, I'm wrong. But that's what confession is all about. God, your word says this is wrong. God, I agree with your word, God, and I'm trying to get it right. And I hope the people, the God that you've asking me to reach my fours, Lord God, that I'm interceding on their behalf, God. I'm confessing my sins and praying that they'll confess theirs too. This fourth thing, y'all, Intercession claims God's promises. Look again at verses 8 and 9. This is what Nehemiah says. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the end of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name, to be honored. God had promised his word to his people long ago, even through Moses, that if y'all mess up, I'm going to get you. That's for sure. But if you get it right, then I'm going to be right to you, that I'm going to forgive you. We know 2 Chronicles 7:14 in this context. That's Solomon. That's God's answer to Solomon as Solomon prays to God. He's built the temple. And now as Solomon built the temple, it's time for a praise party and to thank God. But Solomon goes to God in humble prayer. And Solomon is saying to God, listen, if we do this and do this and do this, will you do this and do that? And God answered, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. It's a specific promise to a specific people that's listed in Scripture that God always had and always will have a land promised to the people of Israel. But guess what? The principle still remains true to us today, that if we go to God humbly in prayer and tell God, listen, I'm sorry for my sins, oh God, if we can hang on to the promise of God that God will forgive us and God will help us. I wish he did have some land that he'd give me. I want the land right next to the church, y'all, that with a sign that's out there that 1.8 acres that they want $1 million for. But in the text, God is talking to Israel, y'all. He's talking to Israel in a land promised to them. But the fact is, listen, God keeps his promises. God has made many promises throughout the scriptures to those who will commit themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, whoever shall call on the name of Jesus might be saved. That's his promise. You will be saved. He said, Jesus said, if I lift it up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That's his promise. And so as we're praying for our four, we're claiming the promises of God in their lives. God, I pray that you would draw them by your spirit. Draw them by your power, oh God. As I'm lifting you up, as I'm serving you, oh God, I hope they see you in me, oh God, and they would be drawn to you. Amen. Then we have to believe God and to believe his word. Intercession claims the promises of God. It's the last thing, and we're through, y'all. Intercession should be specific. Those last couple of verses. Starting at verse 10, it says, the people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Oh, Lord, please hear my prayer. Anybody ever pray to God? God, I need you to hear me. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me. So y'all have to understand the text now. So Nehemiah has to go before this Persian king. Persian king don't serve God. But y'all know something that's so awesome about God? That God can show you so much favor. That people that don't even know him or have a relationship with you, that God can cause them to move on your behalf. And old king hooked him up. Where's OT? Where's OT in the house? He hooked him up. He hooked him up. Y'all read the story in chapter 2 that they said, King, can I get some letters and stuff to send to them governors, all the haters out there, so when I'm traveling through the land that they'll let me travel through the land? I got your protection in this situation. King, that some of them will give me some timber, some wood, so we can rebuild these walls. And the king did it. Get the old dude, he didn't know no God. But Nehemiah prayed it, and God had favor on him. But notice his prayer is specific. Sometimes we can pray these general prayers, these out there prayers. They just kind of, you know, it ain't hitting nothing specific. It's just, you know, but I think sometimes we don't want to be specific because sometimes I think we're afraid that if we're specific, God won't specifically meet our prayer. But how many of y'all know God answers specific prayer? Listen, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, tell God what you need and thank him for what he's already done for you. It's okay to tell God what you need, y'all. Ain't
ain't nothing arrogant about that. Ain't nothing prideful about that. He says in his word, you can ask him, you can seek, and you can knock. Yeah. Listen, if there was a billionaire in your life and you had a financial need, and that billionaire really, they favored you, would you not ask him if you needed some money? Can you hook me up? Oh, some of y'all looking at me strained. I wouldn't ask him for a penny, not me. We cool, and you a billionaire? You can drop 100K like it ain't nothing. And I'm going to ask. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell, it all belongs to him. He's got a cattle on 1,000 hills. It all belongs to him. God says that he extends to us the invitation to ask. And when we pray, y'all, we ought to pray specifically. Listen, as you're praying for your four, pray for their specific need. The first need is salvation. That God, that you would help me in some way, God. Use me in your service, Lord God, to speak a word into their lives, an in-season word that would draw them closer to you, that would bring them into a saving relationship with you. And it's okay to listen, as you're talking to your four, I mean, some people hardcore or whatever it might be, but some people have some specific needs, even if they ain't got Jesus yet, they got some needs. And so if their need is a financial need, it's okay, pray. God, they're trying to get that house. They're trying to get that job, God. They have a health issue. They got a crisis going on. They got a relationship issue. Pray to God on their behalf. Yeah. And be specific about pray about Mary. Pray about Susie. Pray about Joe. Pray about them. That's specific prayer. So God invites us to bring our request before him. And that includes the people we are to intercede for. Lord, please give me the opportunity to speak to these people, to speak on your behalf, oh God, so that they come into a saving relationship with you. Our goal in this 4x4 challenge, y'all, should be to intercede for the people on our card, that are on your card, those names that you write down, those names that you've written down, the names that you're going to write down, the four people, the four families, or the eight families, or the 12 families, So Sister Iris Dawn says she got the Walmart ministry. She got Walmart covered. I don't know which location. That's her corner. Leave it alone. That's her Walmart. She got it covered. Who going to Costco? No, I'm claiming Costco. Y'all come on with me. Come on with me. But write those names. Seriously, write those names down, y'all. And we intercede. We identify them and we intercede for them. We pray for these people. How many times? Pray for them 4 times. Four times, four times a week in our prayer time. How often are you going to pray for them? Four times a week in your prayer time. You can pull out your cards. God, here are the people that I've identified. You've shown me, God, by your spirit. Here are the people that I'm praying for, Lord God. I'm interceding on their behalf and knowing that God will answer according to his divine will. I believe something about the power of prayer and intercessory prayer. In reaching people. I think sometimes, y'all, before we even get up and we go out and we identify and we see people, then we just start praying for people already, just interceding on their behalf, that God in his miraculous power can do something powerful just by praying for them. We pray that God's house might be filled, that people would come in from the four corners of San Antonio, that they could hear the word of God, be a part of Living Faith and what's going on here. Let's intercede for them. And watch what God can do simply through the power of prayer. That we have to pray according to God's character. That ought to be intercession in our prayer. It'll be based on God's promises. Asking God to move on behalf of those that God has shown us that they might have a relationship with him. So let me ask you a question as we close out. So are you willing to put people down? Yeah, y'all looking at me. I said it right. Are you willing to put people down? A lot of Christians do. They look out and they don't see people in need of a Savior, but they see evil and mean people. But that's not what I mean when I say put people down.
The only time I think we ought to put people down is when we put people down on our prayer list and we write their names down. When I talk about putting people down, put the names of people down on your 4x4 card. And you go to God in prayer on behalf of those people. That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying putting people down. Put their names down and lift them up before God. Lift them up that God would heal, that God would save, that God would deliver. That put them down on your card and pray for them. Intercede on their behalf. Pray for them with your whole heart. Seek God for them. Seek God for their advancement. Seek God for their salvation. Seek that they would trust God and obey God. Seek that they would be saved, sanctified, filled with God. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Put them down. Put them down on your prayer list. Put them down in your heart. Put them down on your 4x4 card and intercede for those people and watch what God can do. So number one, in this challenge, we have to do what? Identify. Number two, that we're going to intercede on their behalf. Make sure that you have written them down, you've identified them, and together, let's intercede on behalf of those that don't know Jesus. That's it today, y'all. That's it. Pray with me now. Father, thank you so much for this challenge that you have presented us with. Pray, oh God, for the hearts of every member of this congregation, young and not so young, that we would take this challenge seriously, that you've given us the responsibility to reach people for your kingdom. God, not just shifting people from one church to another, but God, being used by you to bring people that don't have a saving relationship with you into that saving relationship. Only you can save. But you called us to go, to seek, and only you can save them. But God, we're determined to go. We're determined to open our mouths. We're determined, oh God, to allow you to use us to identify them. And we intercede right now, Lord God, for all those, even in this moment, that you're bringing to you through the power of the gospel, through the power of your Spirit, that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God, we are your vessels, chosen in this moment, in this season, oh God, to reach people for your kingdom. We intercede, Lord God, for those peoples, those names that we have written down, and we lift them before you in this very moment. That some people may be more of a challenge than others, but we pray for them all, oh God. Give us the words to speak. Give us, Lord God, the right attitude to have. Show us how to behave before people in such a way, oh God, that it draws them not to us, but to you. So, God, we thank you for this challenge. We say, oh God, yes, we rise. As a church family, we rise to this challenge. That it won't just be lip service. That we can all truly say that I'm up. I'm up for the challenge. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Perhaps. Amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.